Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the special edition of Chatting with Sherry. Our guest is Elizabeth Grayson. This episode was recorded earlier, so there is a very short commercial at the beginning. Enjoy.
Albertsons is your entertainment end zone. Look for the Game On player tags when you shop. Buy three and enter to win great prizes, like a 65-inch big-screen LED TV. Catch the football spirit with the Game On sweepstakes at Albertsons. Get Honey Nut Cheerios 12.25 ounces, $1.49 each when you buy three. And Progressive Traditional or Rich and Hearty Soup, 18.5 to 19 ounces, 99 cents each when you buy six. Selected varieties mix and match. No purchase necessary. Open to residents of Southern California counties listed in rules 18 years and older. Ends January 3rd, 2017. Enter code by January 10th, 2017. Rules at GameOnSoCal.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to welcome actress and author Elizabeth Grayson. She acted in several very famous shows like Charmed, Highlander, Highlander Raven, and she has her own production company called Flapper Films. She's also an author, and she has a brand new young adult fantasy called Shillelagh. I'm not sure if I said that right. I want everybody to welcome Elizabeth Grayson. Thank you.
Hello. Thank you. Hi. Thanks for having me, Sherry.
Thank you for coming on. Did I say that right?
Shillelagh. It was going to be Shilly Shally, and then I realized that that's actually a word, so I just made up Shillelagh instead. So there you go.
It's really cute. I like that.
You may
get children named that.
I know. It's very funny. I think one of my friend's daughters has an imaginary friend now called the Shillelagh, so it's interesting.
Oh, that's interesting. So
yeah,
you got it from an imaginary friend.
That's right. Sending out the word. It's funny, I just did a book fair in, not a book fair, but a convention, a sci-fi fantasy writers convention in Tucson, and I was so excited because they have a big cosplay community in Tucson, and someone was going to cosplay the Shillelagh, and I was so excited to see it in real form, but she got sick and couldn't come, but I thought that would have been cool. I know. See a giant fairy.
That would have been really neat, though. I mean, to see that your new book with the character come to life, that's always cool.
I know. I'm hoping that I can get someone else to do it in time because I would love to see that. It would be so much fun.
That is so cool. Well, I know there's Highlander fans listening because a couple of them sent me emails, you know, saying, oh, my God, I love her. And I said, okay, so I'll ask her some questions.
Highlander questions, yes.
Can you tell those people who aren't very familiar with Highlander who you played and a little bit about your character, maybe any cute stories you have?
Oh, wow. Well, I was really lucky to do Highlander. I'd done a movie of the week way back in the day called The Death of the Incredible Hulk. It was when Bill Bixby was still alive, and Lou Ferrigno was doing the character. So I it was kind of my big TV break at the time. But I guess it was one of the producers from that show called me just out of the blue and said, do you want to go to Paris to play this 1,000-year-old jewel thief? She's immortal. And you'll be shooting in Paris, and that's all they had to say. And I said, yes, of course, I want to do that job.
Paris, okay.
So, yeah, let me think about it. I went and did the first episode. I think it was called The Lady and the Tiger. And I think that was the second year the show had been on. They'd done a short first season, and then this was the first full season. And, I just thought it was a one-off job, like a guest star role, like most, you know, things are. But I guess I got a call within 6 months saying that the fans really liked this character, Amanda, and who's a, you know, past love interest for Duncan MacLeod, who was the star of Highlander, who's played by Adrian Paul. And we just had really great chemistry as people, you know, we had a lot of fun working together. And I guess that carried over into the characters, and people wanted to see Amanda again. So then I just, it sort of started my career with that franchise, and I worked on Highlander for about 6 years. And then I did the spinoff series for a year called Highlander the Raven, playing the same character. It's a little bit altered her character makeup because she's basically a very wily, scrappy young woman. Well, not young woman. She's 1,000 years old. But, you know,
she appeared to be a young woman.
Yeah. But she, you know, she lived that long by not really fighting and doing the whole sword thing and trying to take heads like a lot of the immortals do in that franchise. But she, you know, was always, you know, conniving and manipulating and, you know, trying to stay alive, which had worked for her. But she's always been in love with this Duncan MacLeod character. And they sort of have a on and, you know, off again relationship through these centuries. And it was great. It was like the best job I think I've ever had. It's just been, I feel so lucky that I, because it's shot in Canada and then half of the year in Canada and half of the year in France, in Paris. So, you know, it was just a dream job to get to wear costumes and do accents and do sword play and, you know, have so much fun with the different actors involved and the writers. It was just a fantastic, fantastic experience for me. I'm really grateful for it.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
In the original movie, Sean Connery was in it. Was he? I never saw the TV series. Sorry. Did he transfer into the TV series at all? Did he make any appearances?
No. No, I think I want to say that Christophe Lambert, who is the Highlander in the film, the Sean Connery. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie, but he was the mentor to Christophe Lambert, and I think his name was Connor MacLeod. And so Adrian Paul played a character who's related to Connor MacLeod. And maybe Christoph was in the first series. I'm not really sure, but Sean Connery's character did not make that crossover. And, you know, over the years, really until toward the very end, Adrian was not even part of the film franchise, which is a shame because I think he really could have elevated those films. The TV show, in my opinion, was a lot better than any of the movies they did. Maybe the first one was, you know, good, but, Adrian was fantastic. It's too bad they didn't let him do more.
I've never understood that, why they don't do that. If it's a great movie and they're doing a TV series because it's a great movie, why don't they bring anybody from the movie to the TV series? Does it make sense?
You know, now, but everything is so different these days. Nowadays, that would happen. You think about X-Files and other television shows that like Entourage, you know, they'll make that transfer to the big screen. Because everything is so mixed and crossed at this point, you know, with the advent of HBO and Cinemax and all these channels, TV shows are on par, maybe not with the best, you know, most artful films, but there's more of a crossover. Back in the day when we were doing Highlander, it was still, we didn't have the plethora of channels that we do now. And so it was franchised. I mean, unless you were a Highlander fan and you really sought out where it was, in that structure of, you know, the way television was set up, you didn't know about it.
I remember.
I meet people who've never heard of Highlander, and then I meet people who are, like, totally obsessed with Highlander. So it's very strange. So I think if it was done now, then Adrian would have been a movie star. You know, he could have been the next James Bond or something. But back then it was just not possible.
I mean, it's like, I don't know. Like today it does cross over, but it seems to be more from going to TV to film than film to TV. I mean, even, you know, things like Star Trek was originally a TV series. Classic Star Trek and then Next Generation and now the new stuff that's coming out with J.J. Abrams. But, you know, like you said, back in the day, I mean, when I was a kid, we had five channels.
Exactly.
Well, I'm trying to remember. I grew up in LA, but there was three majors, the network, and then there was three syndication channels, and then we had PBS. So it's about six.
Yeah. Same with me. Same with me growing up in Arkansas. I mean, we had a limited number. Now it's funny because we have so many channels, and you still are like searching for something to watch. It's really bizarre.
I know. I know. During Thanksgiving, they had all of the cable pay-per-view open, and I was going through it, and I couldn't find hardly anything I wanted to see.
I know, and it's, you know, and it's a real obligation. I know. Well, it's a real obligation as well to watch a series. You know, if you can actually get hooked into a series, you know, my husband and I, we just DVR things, or we're obsessed with Westworld at the moment, as a lot of people are. So that's the only thing that we watch. But before that was like Ray Donovan, and you know, we kind of pick what we want to watch, and we'll stick with that, and we'll record it or something that we can. I love to binge watch things like House of Cards. I did that way, but you know, I'm just like surfing. I never land on a network channel, and I seldom, you know, I usually know what I want to watch, and I'll seek it out as opposed to just searching, because I can never find anything. Bizarre.
I know. I actually found a show. Well, I'm a time travel nut, so I love the new show Timeless on NBC. I was like, oh my god. This is actually really good show.
Good to know, because I've seen the ad for it, and it looks like the production value is amazing, but I just didn't know if it was good. So now you've given me a...
It's really good so far. I mean, you know how it can change, but, it's just, like I said, I haven't watched a network show in a long time.
That's really good. That's good to know, because I never... I'm always disappointed. I guess it's because I just can't get away with as much, just in general, as you can, like on an HBO, in terms of the realistic way people talk and, you know, how certain characters would act. So that's good to know. I'll check it out for sure.
Oh, it's really well done. I mean, yeah, I'm not trying to plug it. I'm not on the show. I don't write. I don't do anything. I'm just a fan.
Just a fan. Okay. There you go.
I mean, most of the time, to be honest, I've been watching more international stuff, like on PBS, you know, Downton Abbey. Mr. Mysteries, you know, stuff like that. I don't really watch network stuff anymore because it just doesn't interest me.
Nope.
That's sad because I was a TV addict.
Well, it's just formulaic. I mean, it's like, you know. Although I like big blockbuster movies and have seen a lot in this past month, we have a lovely IMAX theater just down the street. So they, you know, everything that's shot 3D IMAX, like Doctor Strange and the new Fantastic Beasts, you know, the Harry Potter film. And I love those big blockbuster movies. And my daughter, I have an 11-year-old daughter, so she really likes superhero stuff, and my husband does too. So we go see all that commercial stuff, which is meant for the big screen. But, for TV, much of it I'll just wait. And granted, I'm also a Screen Actors Guild member, so there's a point in the year around Academy Awards time and this Screen Actors Guild Awards that we start getting, they're called screeners, you know, or we can log in through our computer and watch a lot of the films. So I don't go see a lot of things that are not made for the big screen, if that makes sense. You know, it's like, because if they're intimate films, you don't really need that experience, but you do need it for the, you know, the Doctor Stranges of the world. Have you seen that?
You actually mentioned something I really want to see. I haven't been able to go yet. I want to see Fantastic Beasts. I'm a big Harry Potter fan. I want to see that so badly. Is it good?
Oh, yeah. We're big Harry Potter nerds in this household. Huge. So, no, we definitely went to see it. And I'm going to go see it again before it goes off the big screen, because we saw that again on IMAX 3D, and it's fantastic. It's, you know, it's just made for that. You can tell that it's really beautiful. It's as all those films are. It's, you know, it's a whole different group of characters, but it's the same world. And, of course, this is set in the U.S. as opposed to England. But it's really great. I came away being incredibly happy about the whole thing.
Oh, I'm dying to see it. I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. I mean, I refer to J.K. Rowling quite often on my show because I'm such a huge fan of her books and everything.
Me too.
And what I loved about it was that it made kids read. I mean, that's like so important. And they waited in line to get a book.
I know. I love it. I love it. And I actually listened to audiobooks of most of the first three or four books. Someone gave them to us. I can't remember why someone gave them as a gift, and we went on a road trip across back to Arkansas, which takes a long time to drive it. So we listened to one of the books or two of the books that way, and it was fantastic because Jim Dale, who's a fantastic stage actor, does all the reading, and he does all the voices, and it was just, magical. So that was sort of my introduction, and then we actually have a shelf in my daughter's bookshelf where it's, we have a friend who's a sculptor who makes magic wands, so we have a rack of wands, and we have all the books, and we have all these little apothecary jars, and she has the golden snitch, and she's just got her collection in this one big shelf. It's very funny, so we've got it all.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, it's pretty good action. I liked it. She's getting older now. I made us all get up and go to the morning matinee. The thing was like the Friday or the Saturday that it came out, the Saturday. I said, no, we're going. We're going first one. And she's like, Mom, it's like you're forcing us to go see a Harry Potter movie. I said, yes, I am. We're going. She's so funny. Hopefully she's not going to totally grow out of it. But she liked it. She's obsessed, though, at the moment with the television series Arrow and The Flash. She's kind of binge-watching those. She's deep into the whole the world of those characters. And she'll be talking about all sorts of things. I'll go, that's great. I have no idea what you're talking about. But
well, that's fine. As long as she's passionate about it.
Oh, she loves it. She totally loves it. It's great. It's good stuff.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your production company. First of all, I'm a huge 1920s fanatic. I love the name of your company, Flapper Film.
Thank you.
Are you a big 20s fan? Is that why you got Flapper, or how did that come about?
Yep. I have an Italian friend named Contessa Ippolita Douglas Scotti de Vigalano, and I met her when I was in Florence. Yeah, Ippo is her name, but that's her full name. But I met her when I lived in Florence for a little while, and I got my hair cut one day at a barber shop in Fiesole, which is right above Florence, Italy. And for some reason, we're up there, and my hair was kind of unruly. And I said, I want to get my hair cut. Let's go to this barber. And she was laughing. She said, okay. I said, tell him that I want a bob, like a flapper. And he spoke no English, but he looked at me and he said, oh, Charleston. And I said, yes, see. Give me the Charleston. So I had this perfect bob cut by this barber. And so from that point on, my friend Ippo called me Flapper. That was just my nickname. And when I was deciding, it was a summer, it's been like 4 or 5 years ago. I just was forming the LLC of the company and all of that, and I was with some friends, and I said, I've got to call it something, something films. I said, I want it to be something films, and we started talking. They said, well, do you have nicknames? And I said, well, yeah, Flapper, and I love the 1920s. I love the whole Flapper energy. And he said, that's your name, Flapper Films. So that's how it came about. And then when I did Flapper Press, it was like I wanted to self-publish the book. And I thought it just makes sense because I've got a couple other books that I've done, fiction and nonfiction, and it just made sense to do my own publishing company, which is now kind of morphed into an e-commerce site. But I have a friend who's a branding expert, and she just said, could I call it Flapper Press? Because it's sort of, she goes, yeah, it's the same, it's basically the same logo, that great 1920s life cover. And because it's in public domain, I was able to use it. So we just sort of took the color out of it for the Flapper Press site. But, yep, I'm a big 20s fan. I don't necessarily believe in reincarnation, but if there is such a thing, then I was definitely in Paris in the 1920s. Definitely.
Mine's London in the 1920s because I love London and I love the 20s.
All right.
I love everything about that.
Well, the new Harry Potter movie set in New York in the 20s, so it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, New York. I actually set part of my book, Fantasy Time, Inc., in the 20s, basically because I wanted to write a 20s section.
I love it. That's great. I have the right to write if I can get around to it, a Highland of the Raven book series. So it would be a young adult series, but I have a lot of flashbacks when I started writing the outline, and I've actually written some short stories that I read and sold at different conventions over the years at Highlander events. And they're always set, the flashbacks are always in the 1920s because I just, I adore that time period. It's the best, So glamorous and beautiful and full of energy, and it's just, I adore it.
Yep. The Great Gatsby was one of the first, well, yeah, of the 20s, that was the first book that captured my imagination about the 20s, was The Great Gatsby.
Oh, yeah. Well, Fitzgerald, and, you know, he's, his book and his writing is very influential to me as well, because it's just, I don't know, there's something about, it's just romantic and but a little
naughty. He wrote so
and
beautifully and he wrote so beautifully and poetically.
I totally agree. I love his writing. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, me too. I read all the books, but that's my favorite.
that's a great one. That's a great one.
Yeah, that's my favorite. So what are, I mean, you have projects that we have listed, but what would you like to talk about? We only have about 10 minutes.
Well, I just, as I mentioned, I just sort of relaunched Flapper Press as an e-commerce site. It's basically, the byline is art ideas and unique merchandise. And I really love the idea of promoting other authors, especially in the fantasy genre, and I'm probably going to set up some, once it gets going, some sort of structure to conduct a young adult writing contest, mainly for young people who write. I've got a couple of books that someone gave me that a teenager wrote, and I thought, how cool is that, and how exciting is that? So that's part of the site, but the other, the e-commerce aspect is, I just know a lot of artists in the LA area and actually internationally, and I want to feature their work. So it's accessories and jewelry and sculptures and wands and all sorts of magical things. I really want to push the fantasy and magical and good luck aspect, you know, good luck charms of all sorts. And it's just, it's fun. It's a lot of work setting it up that way, but I just launched it for Christmas time. It's obviously a long-range project because it's there's a lot of stuff on the site at the moment at flapperpress.com, but it's there'll be lots more. This is just the beginning, so I'm very excited about that. The other thing I'm excited about is through Flapper Films, I work a lot with a modern dance company in Pasadena called the Lineage Dance Company, and they're a modern troupe. They're a nonprofit that bring awareness to other charities and just have a general mission statement of making, you know, dance and the arts available to the masses. So I'm always in some form of collaboration with those guys. I'm always adapting their live shows or something I've seen that Hillary Thomas, who's the creative director, some of her choreography, I'll get inspired and make a short film. So I do a lot of stuff with those guys. And one of the things they do is in association with the Mark Morris Dance Company in New York City. They have these healing movement classes or dancing through Parkinson's classes. And I made a film called Dance for Joy, which sort of celebrates those healing movement classes and follows the relationship between one of the class members and one of the teachers. And it just got accepted to the Hollywood Independent Documentary Festival. It'll be playing December, I guess that's the 10th, whatever the next Saturday is. But very excited about that. It's a documentary short. It's about 17 minutes long. I don't know what I'm going to do with it after the festivals. I've sent it out to all the festivals, but it's really, I'm proud of it just because I think those programs are amazing. Not only does dance help people with Parkinson's or recovering from stroke or, you know, any physical ailment like that, it gives them a sense of well, the movement itself, right, you know, it gets their blood flowing, and it just really helps them so much physically, but there's also the psychological aspect of it. Creating these classes create a sense of community, and you don't feel alone, and you feel part of something, and it's really a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I'm very proud of that film, and I'm always working on something with Lineage. We've been trying to adapt a live show, which will probably, in the end, be a feature-length sort of educational market film called Ceiling and the Floor. I'm not going to tell you all my projects. It sounds obnoxious. I've got too much on my plate. But, you know, it's just always writing something. In fact, Adrian Paul, I'm actually attending this Highlander convention this coming weekend in Tampa at the Lakeland Convention Center, I guess it is. But Adrian and I have not worked together in a long time. But he, I said, let's do a play. Let's do a little reading of something close to what A.R. Gurney's play, Love Letters. I don't know if you know that play. But
yeah.
For Duncan and Amanda are writing these letters to each other. So we've been working on this for about a month and a half, and I'm trying to convince him that I think since I have the rights to kind of take Highlander the Raven into a book series, that I'm trying to enlist his help so we can have maybe Amanda and Duncan be sort of mentor figures to some young adults, you know, young immortals. So this is sort of the beginning of it, and it's kind of exciting, and it's been fun to work on that as well. And it'll be interesting to be with a bunch of hardcore Highlander people as well. It'll be fun.
Sounds like a great project. That's really cool.
Yeah.
You have the film festival coming up. You have the Highlander convention. Do you have any book signings for your book?
Well, I'll be taking the book there. They always have I've been bringing a lot of merchandise from Flapper Press as well there. So there'll be books. There'll be, you know, jewelry, accessories, all sorts of things. But I don't really do a lot of book signings. I don't know why I don't. But I'm game to. If I just got to figure that one out, put it on the list of things to do.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. I've done the conventions, and I've also done it at bookstores. It's weird at bookstores because the people that are there, a lot of time they just come to look at books, and then they come and they kind of look at you, and then they look at your sign. And then they walk away, and then they come back, and they look at you again.
Some come through your book and leave.
No, they actually do. I mean, I did pretty well when I went to Barnes & Noble for my book, Fantasy Time Inc. They came, and I sold about 15 books, which they said was very good
That's great.
A first book signing at a bookstore.
That's fantastic. Now, who do you publish through?
That book at the time was published through Outskirts, but I've redone it, and I've done it as an independent indie book.
Well, I definitely want to feature your book on Flapper Press. I'm not taking commission from any authors. I just really want to promote other authors. I'm just providing information, the book cover, and then a link to wherever someone can order it, because I'm very well aware of how, you know, it's just a hard thing to make money on and get people to get your book. So I definitely want to promote your book. I would love to. I would be honored to have you on there.
Thank you. That's so sweet of
you're
you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Of course.
I'm flattered. I'm very flattered.
Good. Oh, great. Great.
Well, we don't have a lot of time. This is my last question, and I always ask it. So, this is my latest question that I always ask.
Tell me.
I've changed it every year. So. But this year, it's been, next year will be different. What is your great passion in life?
Oh, wow. I define myself as a creative person, and I'm a very passionate person. So I'm not fickle about my projects, but it's whatever I'm working on at the moment. And I'm a type of creator who I'll work on something with great focus and great passion, and when I hit a roadblock or something's not quite jiving, I simply turn my focus to the next thing in my line on the conveyor belt of my creativity. And I put as much focus and as much passion on that, and I everything I do is sort of cyclical. I will come back around to it. If I just, you know, I try to go with the flow of it, but the passion and the focus go hand in hand, and it's just whatever I'm pinpointed, you know, this laser-like focus on at the moment is what I'm passionate about. I love all of the projects, and but you know, it's I move it around. I have many mediums I work in, so it works out really well for me.
Yep, I understand. I'm pretty much like that. And we've come to the end of the show. I want to thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you coming on to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed talking to you. Good luck with everything. Have a wonderful holiday, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.